Hello, everybody. Hello, welcome to Level Up. This is your host, Dr. Leland. I know I didn't release this on Friday. It's Monday. A lot of going on in my life right now. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let's level up.
Level up with Dr. Leland. Step into the future. The world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth shine at Level Up Academy. It's your time. Oh, it's your time at Level Up Academy. We rise and climb.
That is right. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb. So today, where do I start? Well, I want to have a real conversation today about something that's been heavy on my heart. My grandmother actually is in the process of passing. And it's one of those moments that completely shifts your perspective, or at least my perspective. It forces you to slow down even when the world keeps moving. It makes me see time differently. Not just as something that's running out, but as something that's still here, still unfolding, still offering moments to hold on to. There's this strange tension between knowing what's coming and wanting to be fully present in what's still here. It's easy to get caught in the sadness, the anticipation of loss. But at the same time, I don't want to miss these moments that I do have with her. The conversations, the little smiles, the warmth of just sitting next to her. It's made me think a lot about presence. Not just in grief, but in life. How do we stay focused on our responsibilities, our work, our ambitions, our daily routines, our family, our pets, while also making sure we don't miss the things that truly matter? How do we hold space for both? I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers. But I know this. Life doesn't wait. We can get so wrapped up in chasing what's next that we forget to appreciate what's now. And if there's one thing this experience is teaching me, it's that now is all we really have. So today, I want to talk to you about that, finding harmony. Some people call it balance, about being present and about making space for the moments that actually make life meaningful. Even in the midst of chaos and everything else pulling at our attention. Let me ask you this. How do we stay focused on our goals without losing touch with life's fleeting moments? That's a really hard reflection right now for me. I know we hear it all the time. Live in the moment. Be present. Enjoy life as it happens. But in reality, that's much easier said than done. Why is it so difficult to truly be here now? A few key things get in the way. Number one, the pressure of productivity and hustle culture. We live in a world, right, that glorifies busyness. And productivity isn't just encouraged, it's expected. If you're not moving, achieving, or striving towards something, it can feel like you're falling behind. the pressure to always be working towards the next big thing makes it incredibly difficult to slow down and appreciate where we are. Think about how often we measure our days in terms of what we've accomplished. Did we check everything off the to-do list? Did we get closer to our goals? And while there's nothing wrong with ambition, there's a danger in letting productivity define our sense of worth. It creates a mindset where rest feels like laziness and slowing down feels like failure. But when we're constantly chasing, we forget that life is happening now in the moments we're rushing through. The I'll be happy when mindset. I want to talk about that. I'll be happy when I have this, I have that, I have finished this. This is one of the biggest barriers to living in the moment. How many times have you thought, I'll be happy when I get that promotion, or I'll feel fulfilled when I hit that financial goal, or I'll enjoy life once I've accomplished X, Y, and Z? It's an easy trap to fall into because it makes sense. We set goals to improve our lives, and naturally, we tie our happiness to achieving them. But the problem is that there's always another milestone ahead. The finish line keeps moving. Once we reach one goal, we quickly replace it with another one. This cycle keeps us in a constant state of waiting. Waiting to feel successful. Waiting to feel at the peace. Waiting to be happy. And in the process, we missed out on the joy that's already available to us. What if happiness isn't something we earn once we've done enough? But maybe something we allow ourselves to feel right now. How grief reminds us that time is our most valuable resource. Nothing puts life into perspective quite like grief. When you're faced with losing someone, whether it's happening now or has already happened, you start to see time differently. The small moments suddenly feel big. The things that seem urgent before, like emails, deadlines, social media, notifications, start to feel insignificant compared to a single conversation with someone you love. Grief strips away the noise and shows us that what actually matters. It's a painful lesson, right? But also a powerful one. Because if we can recognize that time is fleeting, then maybe we can learn to prioritize differently before it's too late. Maybe we can stop postponing joy, connection, and presence. Here are some questions that I have reflected and I want you guys to also reflect. The first one is, have you ever found yourself chasing the next thing only to feel unsatisfied when you get there? The second question is, what's one small way you can shift your mindset to appreciate this moment more right now? If today were your last normal day, whatever that means, how would you spend it differently? Let's talk about the art of presence. We talked about how or why it's so hard to live in the moment, how productivity, culture, future-focused thinking, and even grief can pull us away from the now. But how do we actually bring ourselves back to the present? How do we train ourselves to be here, even when our minds want to be somewhere else? Here's the good news, is that presence is a skill, something we can practice and strengthen, just like any muscle. At this moment, this is my reflection and some few practical ways to bring yourself back into the moment when life feels overwhelming. First one is mindful breathing. 5-second reset, guys. 5-second reset. One of the quickest ways to reconnect with the present is through your breath. When we're stressed, distracted, or lost in thought, our breathing becomes shallow and automatic. But the moment we intentionally take control of our breath, we give our nervous system a cue to slow down. Here, this is how it goes, okay? Breathe in slowly through your nose for 5 seconds. Hold it for 2 seconds. And then exhale gently through your mouth for 5 seconds. Let's do it one more time. 5 seconds in. Hold for 2 seconds. Breathe out through your mouth. 5 seconds. One more time. 5 seconds in. Hold for 2 seconds. Breathe out. 5 seconds. One more time. Breathe in for 5 seconds. Hold for 2 seconds. Breathe out for 5 seconds. I promise this is the last time, okay? One more time. 5 seconds in. Hold for 2 seconds. Breathe out for 5 seconds. This tiny exercise literally signals your body that you're safe. It helps you clear mental fog and instantly grounds you. What's the best part? Well, you can do it anytime before a meeting, traffic, middle of stressful moment, whatever. Pair this mindful breathing with a short mantra like, I am here. This moment is enough. Reinforce the habit of presence, guys. Another thing that I do is the 5-4-3-2-1 technique. This is more of a grounding yourself. If you feel overwhelmed and anxious or lost in your thoughts, this technique is a game changer. It works by activating your senses, pulling you out of your head and into your body. When you're so overwhelmed, here it goes. 5. Notice 5 things you can see. The colors of the room, the texture of a table, a tree outside. If you're driving, what's in front of you, the color of the cars, the color inside your car. 4. Identify 4 things you can touch. Your clothing, your hair clip, your sunglasses, your visor, if you're driving, your wheels, your shifter, your phone. 3, listen for 3 sounds. A car outside, a bird's, the hum of the fan, your AC blowing, your dog. 2, recognize 2 things you can smell. Fresh air, coffee, perfume. 1, acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. Maybe it's a gum, maybe it's a water you're drinking, or maybe it's the last thing you ate. That helps you with your grounding yourself. 5-4-3-2-1. 5 things you can see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things that you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. This technique pulls you into the moment by engaging your body. It's especially helpful when your mind is racing or when you're feeling disconnected from what's happening around you. Even though this exercise is kind of small or kind of like, oh, maybe it doesn't work, it's actually those meaningful moments when you're sitting with a loved one or when you're watching the sunset or when you're enjoying a cup of coffee. It helps turn ordinary moments into mindful experiences. Try it. Third thing I want to talk about is intentional time blocking. Scheduling moments of stillness. Remember, our world is constantly demanding our attention. Our presence rarely happens by accident. We have to make space for it, literally. One way to do this through intentional time blocking, which means scheduling moments of stillness into your day, the same way you would schedule a meeting or a task. How do you do it? Get your phone. Set presence alarms. A few times a day, set a reminder in your phone to pause, take a deep breath, and check in with yourself. Even for 5 minutes. Then create a no-phone zone. Designate parts of your day or spaces like mealtimes or the first 30 minutes of waking up, or make it a tech-free zone, allowing you to be more fully engaged. And then the third thing within that is plan a micro-mindfulness moment. Again, 5 minutes of your morning or midday and evening. No phone, no distraction, just breathing and feeling being. Presence doesn't mean giving up productivity, guys. It means choosing when to be fully engaged in work and when to be fully engaged in life. By scheduling time for both, you can actually create a space to actually experience the things that matters to you. Before jumping into your next task or meeting, just take 30 seconds to pause and ask, how do I want to show up for this? This tiny moment of awareness can shift your entire approach to work and life. Presence isn't about escaping responsibilities or ignoring the future. It's about making sure we don't miss life while chasing it. Whether it's through mindful breathing or engaging your senses or grounding yourself or intentionally creating stillness, the more you practice presence, the more natural it becomes. Here's another question. What's one small practice you can try today to bring yourself back to the present? How do we balance business and personal life? Well, one of the biggest challenges with our world is the demand of work again, your ambition and your personal life. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a professional, corporate worker, or simply someone trying to juggle multiple responsibilities, a stay-at-home parent, it often feels like there's never enough time for both business and personal life. We're told to hustle, to stay productive, to build for the future, but at what cost? If we're always working towards the next big goal, we risk missing the moments that actually give life meaning. So, how do we strike that balance? How do we stay committed to our ambitions without sacrificing presence in our personal lives? I have some suggestions. The first one is how to honor personal time without guilt. For many of us, taking time for ourselves, whether it's for rest or family or personal passions, comes with a sense of guilt. There's always more to do, always another email to send, always someone who needs something. But if we don't intentionally protect our personal time, we'll end up burned out, disconnected, and constantly feeling like life is slipping through our fingers. Let's reframe rest as productivity. Instead of seeing rest time away from success, we need to recognize that rest is what makes long-term success sustainable. Taking a break isn't laziness, it's fuel. How do we honor personal time without feeling guilty? First one, reframe your mindset. Remind yourself that taking time off isn't selfish, it's necessary. Second time, treat personal time like an important meeting. Schedule it the same way you'd schedule a business commitment and stick to it. Third, set a hard stop for work. Decide when your work day ends and honor it. Even if there's more to do, remind yourself, hey, that can wait till tomorrow. Four, practice small moments of joy. You don't need a full vacation to honor personal time. Taking 10 minutes to enjoy a cup of coffee without distractions is just as important. Here's my challenge for that. What's one way you can carve out personal time this week without feeling guilty? I want to know. Tell me. How do we set boundaries in work and personal life? That's one of the biggest reasons we struggle with balancing or harmonizing, is that the lines between work and personal life sometimes have become so blurred because of working at home or remote working, right? Technology, yes, we're loving technology, but we're always reachable, which also means we're often never fully present in either space. Setting clear boundaries is essential, but it takes conscious effort. This is how I would set effective boundaries, and I do this for myself. The first one is communicate my limits. I let my friends, my clients, my coworkers, or team members know when I'm available and when I'm not. I also use the do not disturb mode on my phone. Silence notification during personal time, my meals, family moments, when I'm teaching, or when I'm sleeping. I also create physical boundaries. If I work from home, right? So I have designated the workspace so that my personal space still feels like home. And then the last thing that was really hard for me is practicing saying no without guilt. Because not every request deserves a yes. Protecting my time is protecting my well-being. You should say that to yourself too. Here's something that I practice. I don't check emails after 5 p.m. But I usually will tell them, hey, I don't check your emails Saturday and Sunday. And after 5 p.m. on Friday, I do not check email. But I will get back to you on Monday. That's what I tell my students. Or I say, hey, I'm dedicating Sundays to family time, so I'll be offline. But I'll follow up on Monday. Or you could say, hey, I appreciate the invite, but I need to take some personal time tonight. Thank you so much for including me in your get-together, right? Boundaries aren't about pushing people away. They're about ensuring you can be fully present where it matters the most. I also learned the power of pause and reflect moments. Ask yourself, is this serving me? In the middle of all the hustle, we rarely take the time to pause and reflect. We usually go through the motions of work hard, push forward, right? But we never stop to ask, is this actually serving me? This is a crucial question because it forces you and I to evaluate whether our current path aligns with what we truly want. But how do you practice pause and reflect moments? Well, get a weekly check-in. Meaning once a week, take 10 minutes to reflect on how you're feeling. Are you overwhelmed? Are you energized? Are you drained? And then ask yourself these questions. I ask myself these questions. I have four. Am I working efficiently or just keeping myself busy? Am I spending enough time with the people who matter? Am I making space for things that bring me joy? If I continue this pace, will I feel fulfilled or exhausted? Make adjustments. If something isn't serving you, whether it's a habit, a work commitment, or even a mindset, give yourself permission to shift. Success is meaningless if we don't have time to enjoy it. Balancing business and personal life isn't about choosing one over the other. It's about making space for both in a way that feels fulfilling. What's one boundary you can set today to protect your personal time? I'm asking you. You can email me and answer that, or you can go on my live and answer that question. When was the last time you asked yourself, is this serving me? Do you ask yourself often, right? Remember, harmony or balance isn't about perfection. It's about intention. It's about making small choices every day that keep you and I align with what truly matters to us. And let me go back to what loss teaches us about living fully. Loss has a way of shaking us awake. It strips away the distractions, the noise, and the unnecessary worries, leaving us with the raw truth of what really matters. As you navigate this difficult time, keep in mind, somebody somewhere out there is losing a grandmother, a mother, a brother, a sister, a best friend, a niece, a nephew, cousin. Moments like these reminds us that time is limited. Not just for those who we love, but for us too. How do we take the weight of loss and turn it into something meaningful? How do we honor those we lose by living fully? I asked myself, what would my grandmother want me to do? I'm about to lose both grandparents. I think I'm done crying, maybe, for today at least. It's natural in moments of grief to focus on the sadness, the impending loss, the ache of knowing time is running out. But one of the most healing ways that I process grief is I ask myself, what would my loved one want for me? What would my grandmother want for me? My grandmother wouldn't want me to be stuck in a sorrow. She wouldn't want me to stop living or to put my dreams on hold or to be weighted down by regrets. More likely, she would want me to carry forward the best parts of her, the love she gave, the lessons she taught, the value she lived by. So then I reflected on these questions again. What are the qualities that she embodied that I admire the most? It's her confidence. It's her ability to be resilient regardless of what's going on with her life. It's the love and passion that she had for living life. Then I asked myself, what are the life lessons she shared with me? To never give up. I never thought I would meet my mother, my biological mother, growing up, but I did. Then I asked myself, how can I take those lessons and apply them to my own journey and hopefully share those with my daughters? So if you're listening to this, I encourage you to write down one thing a loved one has taught you, whether they're still here or not, and find a way to live that lesson today. I'm going to turn my grief into gratitude. Grief and gratitude might seem like opposites, but they can coexist. In fact, gratitude can be one of the most powerful ways to process loss. Instead of focusing only on what you're losing, shift your focus to what you had. Instead of thinking, I wish I had more time, think, I'm grateful for the time we did have. Instead of focusing on the pain of saying goodbye, think about the love that made saying goodbye so hard. Instead of dwelling on what's missing, cherish the memories that can never be taken away. Gratitude doesn't erase grief, but it transforms it. It allows us to hold onto love rather than just loss. Here's a practical exercise that I can give you guys. Take 5 minutes to write down a few moments with your grandmother or maybe another loved one that you're grateful for. These moments don't have to be big. Sometimes it's the smallest details that stay with us the longest. Then I shifted my mind to the legacy mindset, making decisions as if today were my last. Because loss reminds me of something we often forget. Nothing is guaranteed. I know that. We don't know how much time we have, which means the way we live today is what truly matters. A powerful mindset shift is to start living as if today were your last. Not in a reckless way, okay? Don't be jumping off the bridge and eating all the crappy food out there. But in an intentional, meaningful way. This is a legacy mindset. Ask yourself, if this were my last day, what would I do differently? Am I prioritizing the things that truly matter? If I knew I had limited time, what would I stop stressing over? Am I spending time with the people who fill my life with love and meaning? What kind of impact do I want to leave behind? When we live with this mindset, we stop postponing joy. We stop waiting for the perfect time to take that trip, to say I love you, or pursue what actually makes you happy. Here's a challenge for you again. What's one thing you've been putting off that you would do immediately if you knew, hey, time's limited? My final thought. Loss is heartbreaking, but it also is a reminder. A reminder to live, to love, and to be present. My grandmother's life had meaning, and the best way to honor her isn't just about to remember her, It's to embody the love, wisdom, and kindness she gave to the world. I beg you, don't wait to live fully. The time to appreciate life isn't someday. It's now. As we wrap up this episode, I want to take a moment to reflect on everything we've talked about today. We've talked a lot about a lot of things. We've explored what it really means to live in the moment, why it's so hard to do, and how can we start making presence a bigger part of our lives, especially when we're balancing responsibilities and grief and the fast pace of the world around us. I have so much to-do list, it's not funny. But I need to live in the moment. So here's my key takeaway. There were five. Number one, presence is a choice. Life will always be busy and the future will always be uncertain. But we can choose to slow down, to notice the little moments, and to be fully here, right now. Second one, productivity isn't the goal. Meaning is. Hustle culture tells us to measure our worth by how much we do. But true fulfillment comes from how much we experience. Third thing is boundaries protect what matters. We can't be present if we're constantly pulled in 100 directions. Setting clear limits on work, on distractions, on stress, allows us to show up fully where we're needed most. Fourth one is grief teaches us the value of time. Instead of waiting for someday to enjoy life, we need to live as if our time is precious, because it is. And last, key takeaway is legacy isn't just what we leave behind. It's how we live today. If you want to honor the people we love, we should live in a way that reflects what they taught us. More challenges for you guys. What's one thing you can do today to be more present? Ask yourself. It doesn't have to be big. Maybe it's putting your phone away during dinner. Maybe it's taking deep breaths and fully appreciating your morning coffee or whatever morning drink that you have, tea, water. Maybe it's telling someone you love how much they mean to you. The smallest changes in awareness can completely shift how we experience life. So ask yourself, what's my small step toward presence today? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please DM me, email me, lua@levelupbydocleland.com, or find me on Instagram, levelupbydocleland. Find me on YouTube @luabydocleland. LinkedIn, Dr. C. Leland. Tag me in social media. Please share a moment when you truly felt present. A small change you're making to be more intentional with your time. Your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Because at the end of the day, presence isn't about having a perfect work-life balance, or eliminating stress, or controlling time. Because you can't anyway, even if you try. It's about choosing to be here, to experience, to connect, to live, even when life feels so chaotic. Because if we wait for the right moment to start living, we miss the only moment that's guaranteed. And that is this one. Thank you guys for listening. I will talk to you this Friday. All right? Have a beautiful day, evening, and afternoon. I am grateful for you and thank you for listening. Don't forget to DM me if you have any questions or tag me.
Level up, it's time to rise. Unlock your potential, reach for the skies. Transform, paint a purpose, find clarity and stride. With Dr. Leland leading, we stand side by side. Collaboration fuels us together, we thrive. At Level Up Academy, your dreams come alive.